It was beginning to look a little scary. It was September 1976. We were in Midtown Manhattan on our senior class trip. I was walking north on Broadway with my friend Ed Lewis, a classmate, and we walked north of Times Square. And when we first started out, if you've ever seen Times Square, it's really bright, well lit. And the farther we walked, the fewer lights there were. And instead of a bunch of tourists around, eventually we started noticing there weren't tourists, there were groups of guys. Like there's a circle of guys here, and then a group here, and then a group there. And as I was walking with Ed, eventually, you know, it started looking pretty dark. Now, you might wonder, were you getting scared? No, I wasn't scared at that point. You know why? Ed Lewis was probably 6'3", 6'4". Ed was raised on the south side of Chicago. Ed had been in street fights. I was walking with Ed. He was my friend. And eventually Ed said, "Hey, we better turn around before I have to hurt somebody." And we turned around and we headed back to our hotel. I was protected that time. I was ready. Now, there was another time that I wasn't ready. It's a completely different kind of situation. The first church I pastored in as a senior pastor, there was a lady in the church who had demons. And as I've shared a little bit before, I prayed with her and she received some comfort, but I had never encountered that before. So I wasn't ready. And so I contacted a pastor friend of mine who used to be a missionary in Brazil. And he encountered that all the time. And he helped me. He said, "There's a book you need to read." I read that. I talked to another friend who gave me some advice. And all the demons were cast out and the lady had victory. And eventually, I was ready if that ever happens again. So, what about you? Are you ready whatever happens? How often are you defeated? Maybe it's, for you, it's a website that draws you in and then you feel terrible afterwards. Or it could be comfort food. You get frustrated and angry and you need your fix. It might be your thought life. You could get an Academy Award for all the scripts that you write in your head. All these great ways that you get your revenge on the people that have hurt you. You play that over in your head, and if that was ever on the big screen, you would get an Academy Award for what you write in your head. But the truth is, your actual work and the relationships in your life suffer because you get sucked into your fantasy land so often. It could be that you feel defeated because of the way you treat people. You flatter and manipulate and pressure people to get them to do what you want. And then you treat them like garbage. And then in the end, you don't feel the sense of accomplishment you were looking for. Maybe you feel defeated when it comes to your family. There are times when it feels like you're just a bunch of strangers living under one roof. And you feel defeated as a family. How can we be victorious in these situations? Let's find out. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. "Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." What does this verse say about the way we need to win our victories? We need to learn our battles. Learn my battles. I have to learn what my battles are. My real battles. Not the fictitious fantasy battles. How can we learn to wield this sword when we're under attack? And we're going to learn this from Jesus, and we're going to watch him use the sword. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he, for 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now, fasting did not weaken Jesus. Fasting strengthened Jesus so that he was ready. Fasting is turning down the volume of your body and your body's needs. It's learning to turn that down and turning up the volume of what God is saying. It's turning down the volume of our body's needs. It's learning to say no to that and turning up the volume so we can hear what God is saying. Now, I want you to take note of one phrase that he used there. Luke records Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Now, here come the battles. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these bones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." And if you go to the parallel account in Matthew 4:4, it adds this, "But on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man does not live on bread alone. So, here's the battle that we can win. I can win the battle of cravings. I can win the battle of cravings. You have cravings? Anybody? Yeah. Shit. We do. What cravings do you fight? Find a sword or maybe a dagger that is always ready to slay a craving. Now, in your notes are a list of some possible verses that can help you. And so you can respond just like Jesus did. That was recorded for us so that we can respond like he did. Deuteronomy 8:3, Matthew 6:31-33, 1 Corinthians 9:7, Galatians 5:16, Hebrews 4:12. There are others, but that's a good place to start. If that's a place where you have struggles, then start there. Learn, read those and find out which ones are beneficial for you. Like, example, Galatians 5:16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." And so you just pray this, you quote that verse, a craving comes up and pulls its weapon on you, and you pull out your sword and you pray, "Holy Spirit, guide me, direct me to something wholesome now." And you memorize that scripture, you say the scripture, you pray, or maybe it's Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And you can memorize that and then quote that and pray, "God, judge my thoughts and attitudes now. Is this of you or is this bad? Just God, let your word penetrate me." And then you can win this battle. And if one of these verses don't work, search scripture. Text me, say, "I need a verse that helps me with this particular craving." And together we can find something that's helpful. And then you can use that verse in that battle and be victorious. Another one that you'll find is in Luke 4, 5 through 8. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, I can win the battle over power. Satan was offering him power. Wouldn't it be nice to be in charge? I mean, really in charge. In charge to the point where what you said went. What you said, that was the way it was, and people had to obey. And you were in charge. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be tempting? See, this temptation was a shortcut. What Satan was saying to Jesus, hey, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to die. You don't have to suffer. Just worship me. And I'll be right. And I'll put you in control of everything. All you have to do is worship me. Wouldn't that be tempting? You don't have to go through all the suffering you're going through. You don't have to go through all that difficulty. Just give up your faith. Then you'll have power over that. So how do you defeat that battle? How do you win over power? By doing the opposite. Here are some stories. Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Jesus there says, you know, the rulers of this world lord it over you, but not so among you. In fact, you need to serve instead of being powerful and in control. Or Luke 14, 11, or James 4, 10. 1 Peter 5, 6 says this, so humble yourselves under God's mighty power. Humble yourselves under God's mighty power. Because then you are powerful. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. You know the bad news in that verse? At the right time. Oh. That means that we'll have to wait. Had a thought this week, and it's this. If God loves you, he will make you wait. Have you ever had to wait for something? Why? Because God loves you. Look at all the people that God made wait. Waiting is not a bad thing. I think waiting is a bad thing. You ask my wife. If somebody doesn't step on their gas pedal 1/10 of a second after the light turns green, my hand is like, come on! I don't want to wait! Just so you know, God's working on me on that. Yes, we don't, but humble ourselves under God's mighty power. That's a great verse to memorize and use as a sword when that battle comes up. But the devil tried another time in verse 9. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And so this is the battle of control. I can win the battle of control. You can win the battle of control. You see, here is what this battle is. I can make God do what I want him to do. I can make him do what I want him to do. We treat God like a candy machine. Read this verse, say this prayer, and boom, you get whatever you want. There are more than enough people giving that message on TV. You can hear that on a regular basis, that message. You can control God, and you can get him to do what you want and to bless you in this way, to do things your way so that you are in control. And there's some swords that you can use. Luke 22:42. Romans 12:2, Colossians 3:1-2. Fix your eyes on heavenly things. Or James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Now, as we go over those three temptations, do you feel like you've heard them before? Somewhere else, like, wait, haven't I heard that before? You have. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, what is that? Craving. And pleasing to the eye, there's power, and desirable for gaining wisdom, control, to be like God, the snake had mentioned earlier. She took some of it, gave some to her husband, who was with her, he ate. John mentions this in 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, cravings, the lust of the eyes, power, and the boasting of what he has or does, control, comes not from the Father, but from the world. These temptations that Jesus went through are common to each one of us. And human beings have been fighting these battles for a long time. We all deal with these. And so they're common. If you say, wow, I feel so defeated, join the club. We're all fighting. We're all fighting these battles. And sometimes we win. And sometimes we lose. And we have a God who is there in that process. But I want you to notice something. Luke 4:14-15. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Remember what I said at the very beginning? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. And now it says, in the power of the Spirit. There's a difference. There's a qualitative difference between verse 1 and verse 14. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are full of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean everything we do is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, going through this testing, going through 40 days of fasting, turned down the volume of what his body wanted and turned up the volume, turned up the clarity of what the Father was saying to him, turned up. And that is exactly what we need in our lives. The same thing can happen with us. Last week we took a look and saw how in that process of testing, they grew stronger. That's what happens here. When we're tempted, when we're tempted and tested, if we use the sword of the Word of God, In that process, we become stronger. Here's the amazing thing. We are tempted and we are tried because the enemy is trying to defeat us. And if we respond with the word of God, we'll grow stronger. He tried to weaken us, but if we do it properly, we will be stronger at the end of that tempting. We'll be stronger. And more ready for battle the next time. That's what happened with Jesus. So, what do? Prepare for my battles. We have to get ready for the battle. How do we do that? Read, study, and memorize Scripture. Read, study, and memorize Scripture. And then read, study, and memorize Scripture. And when we're done with that, read, study, and memorize Scripture. The Jews in Jesus' time had this theory of how to raise children. And this was their plan. Stuff them with Torah like an ox. That was a quote from one of their documents that, like, stuff them, feed them with Torah, feed them Scripture over and over. And just, we need to read Scripture. We need to study Scripture. We need to memorize Scripture. I just heard a study this week. If you read your Bible once a week, it has a negligible impact on your life. 2 to 3 times a week, it makes a little difference. 4 times more a week, your life begins to change. Your anxiety levels go down. We can win these battles, but we have to get out our swords and sharpen them and get them ready. Read, study, and memorize Scripture. And then secondly, find your keystone passage. That one that kills your besetting sin. So you know what a keystone is? If I was building a stone archway, there's stones that are at an angle, but the most important stone is the keystone. And it's right in the middle. And that stone holds all the other stones in place. There is a point in your life, there's a point in my life where I am most vulnerable. And I have to have a verse that I quote, that I have ready when I am tempted. You do too. Find a keystone passage. Have that verse. Memorize that verse. I don't know how you feel about tattoos, but get it tattooed on you if you have to. I can't memorize. Okay, get a tattoo. Whatever you need to do. Hang it in your car, on your mirror, on your computer, wherever. Just learn that verse. Find your keystone passage. And then participate in Knowing Jesus 101. That's coming up next month. You can sign up at the Welcome Center. The next slide gives the information on that. You can fill out a connection card, circle A on that, and drop that in the offering plate. But what do we do? Well, here's what we do in Knowing Jesus 101. You'll learn how to read, study, and memorize Scripture. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. But you say, well, I don't really know how to read it. Or I don't know how to study it. What do? You just open it up and point your finger down and just study something? How do you memorize? We take a look at all of that in that 6-week process. And you'll come out of that knowing Scripture better. Knowing how to read it. Knowing how to pray it. And then you'll be ready, whatever happens in your life. When you're tempted to go to that website, you can quote Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Then close the computer and go for a walk. And the same, that passage works for dealing with your comfort food. Or it might be your thought life. Then you pull out Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. If you flatter and manipulate people and pressure them to do what you want so you can use them, Matthew 20. Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. This also works when it comes to your family. You serve your family, expecting nothing in return, and see how that changes everything. When Diane was fighting cancer, it changed the way I served her. Like, she would sleep on the couch, and so I would make sure, now you have enough water, you have enough tissues, you have enough this, can I get you this? Do you need your pain medication? Do you have this? And all I did was serve her. And you might think that got to be annoying. And you would be completely wrong. Because the more I served my wife, the more I loved her. In fact, it got to the point, just a few weeks before she died, I said to Diane, I wonder what our marriage would have been like if I had learned to do this a long time ago. These swords will help us to be victorious. Whatever battle comes at us, we can be victorious. God has given us everything that we need. And when I'm victorious, I'm a victorious soldier. But if all of us are victorious, each and every one of us is victorious, then we become an unstoppable army that God can use to transform this community and this world. Stand with me. You have a plan? You have a plan for how you are going to be victorious the next time one of these battles come your way. Look at your notes, find a plan, and let's together win the battles that face us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is our weapon. Jesus, thank you for giving us that example. Help us to take on temptation the same way you did. Show yourself in our lives this week to be powerful. Help us as we take out our swords, no matter how small they may be right now, give us victory as we grow stronger, as we face the enemy. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. But more than that, thank you for what you're going to do in us and then through us. In Jesus' name, amen.